Good morning, and Lord's blessings to each one of us. I want to give a special thank you. This is the last morning, and it's been a very good week. I think all of us can say that. It's been a great blessing. And I want to give a special thank you to those of you from home, your support and prayer and your encouragements and being there. It meant a lot. I don't know, sometimes if you know, some of you probably think as preachers have pretty, we just sort of have it all together and things just sort of come, but it's not always that way. We have our struggles and we have things that we face and we go through, and even a week like this, the other evening, I was back in my little room and praying, and it just wasn't coming. It just wasn't coming. It just wasn't coming. You know, you pray and cry before the Lord, and you sit down, and you study, and you endeavor to put things together, and it just doesn't come, you know. And you put out a text to some of the brothers, and all of a sudden, the Lord just opens the doors, and you know how those things go. It's just, I sat back here this morning, and just quieting my heart before the Lord, and endeavoring to get my heart prepared. And one of my dear brothers walked by, just put his hand on me, said, "No, I'm praying for me. I'm praying for you." He walked in the door, and various ones, brothers and sisters, I don't think you know, but we need that. We need that. We need your support. We need your prayers. We don't have it all together. We don't. At least I don't. Do you, Brother John? We don't. Could we kneel together to pray before we start? Our great Father in heaven, this morning we kneel before you again in Jesus' name. God, I just pray for each one of these dear young people. Lord, you know their life is in front of them, and they don't know what their future holds. And Lord, we're here this morning just begging of you in Jesus' name that you would please come and you would work in the heart of each one of these dear young people. And I ask that you would plant your conviction, your word into their hearts. We ask, God, that you would raise them up to be a godly generation. We beg of you for that, Lord. We ask, Lord, that these youth could go forth from this week and some of the things that you have done in their hearts would stick for a lifetime. We ask, God, that you would do a deeper work. By your Holy Spirit, we beg of you, O God, that you would move again among us today. We ask, God, for Brother John and Brother Aiden. We ask for Brother Paul Hirschberger tonight. We ask, God, that you'd be with the chorus. We ask, Lord, that your holy presence would be here with us today. We open ourselves to you, God. We're hungry. We're thirsting. We need you, O God. We beg of you for your help. Unless you come and help us, we're going to go astray. So, Lord, We ask that you would just now guide my thoughts and my heart and ask for an inspiration from heaven. Ask for clear thoughts and the ability to communicate in a way that can help these young people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I know for all of you, as you're looking at the future and you're looking at life, there's a lot of things you look forward to and wondering what all God has for you. As I was considering about sharing this morning, I put on this paper, On Deeper with God. On Deeper with God. And I was reflecting back over the years, over the past 30 years, I was reflecting back over my life and looking or considering what some of the things have been in the past 30 years that have molded me into what I am today. I've been thinking about that. And some of the things that, for you, I'm going to say, some of the things that you most dislike, and some of the things that I most dislike, are some of the things that have helped me the most in life. So this morning, I'm going to share a bit of my own life. And I hope I don't bore some of the ones at home, because some of you might have heard some of this already. I'd like to share some of my own personal life, some of the things that the Lord used to work in my heart. I'd like to share some of those things this morning. Some of the things that I'm going to say, the Lord has used to bring a maturity and a depth into my personal walk with God. We all want that, right? We all do. I know you do. I know you have a heart after God and you want that. And it seems like God has us on this journey, and He wants to bring purging and bring things, and bring the things out of our lives that shouldn't be there, and other things, you know, He uses those things to make us who we are. For an opening scripture, maybe we could turn to the book of 1 Peter. And we'll read a couple of verses there in the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 12, where it says these words. And we're going to read a number of verses, but I'd like for you to take special note of this first verse, where it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Now let me just read that again. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." We don't like fiery trials. We don't like difficulties. "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is coming that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, let me just read that again. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So there's four headings that I'm going to put out here this morning that I'd like to look at a bit. And these four headings, number one is a full surrender. Number two is testings, trials, sufferings, and afflictions. Number three is exercising ourselves in the Word. And number four is sacrifice. Those are the four headings that we'd like to look at this morning. And like I said, I'm going to look at some of the things that I've gone through and experienced in my own life that I'm going to say has had a tremendous effect on my life personally. Well, the first heading we like to look at here is a full surrender to Jesus Christ. A full surrender to Jesus Christ. Coming to the place where there's nothing that we're not willing to lay down for the cause of Jesus Christ. I remember some 25 years ago, my wife and I were newly married. We were endeavoring to find our way. As a young couple, we had committed ourselves to following God and His Word at all cost. And there's various things came up in the setting where we were. And it seemed like doors were closing. And in fact, the church where we were, there's some things that the Bible very clearly said. And the setting where we were asked to lay those things down. And the Bible was very, very clear on the matter. And as my wife and I, newly married young people, as we sat there and we prayed and we opened the Word of God, we found ourselves at a crossroad where we didn't know where to turn. And we ended up making some decisions that brought us where we are today. And let me just tell you something. In those days, we didn't have a lot of connections around the country like we do today. In fact, our circle was pretty small. There's a pretty small church. I'm going to say maybe around 125 people. And beyond that, we had a couple local friends. But we didn't have a lot of friends around the country like we have today. And as we were facing that, we made a decision to follow the Word of God. And it meant that we left all of the friends that we had. It seemed like there was no one. There's no one that supported us in following God's Word. And I say that carefully. My father did. My father did. But we left our family and all of our friends behind because we had made a decision that whatever it takes to follow God Almighty, We're going to lay everything else down in order to follow God. We left family. My brothers and my sisters, they came to me. It seemed like they turned against me. All the people that we knew locally. There's people I work with that came and I had to leave them behind. There was many, it felt like, I'm just going to say this way, it felt like I had to leave, we had to leave everything behind. All that we had ever known. It felt like we had to leave everything behind because we had made a decision to follow God and His Word. And I remember being on our faces before God and pleading with God for our future, for the family that He was going to give us. And God, where are You going to take us? God, what do You have for us? God, we have committed to following You. We don't want to go down the wrong way. We want to follow You. A full surrender to Jesus Christ. As the years went on by, the surrender that we had made brought us friends and family. And all the family that had turned against us, they all came back some 5 to 10 years later with great high regard and respect like never before. Why? Because they saw the commitment of God in our hearts. We had to leave all, and yet God restored everything. God brought us friends. God brought us new family. God planted us in a church. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of little things that we like to hang on to, little preferences and little things. But let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, God wants to take you on deeper with Him. And God is looking for a surrender of your own will and a commitment to following God at all cost. Willing to lay aside our own agenda to following Jesus Christ and working in a local brotherhood. Let me just tell you, I'd like to somehow convince you this morning that it's the best thing you can do is to choose to embrace the difficult things in life. Wherever you are, there's going to be difficult things that God's going to bring into your life. In a local church, in a family, there's going to be difficult things that God's going to bring into your life. That feels very difficult. It doesn't feel good, and yet you know that's right. And as you go through them, you're asking God, God, why do I have to go through this? Well, let me just tell you, if you look at God-fearing men, you look at men and women who have deep character, deep commitment to God, you show me one of those men, and I'll show you a man who has been through some very deep, dark valleys. And it's in those deepest, darkest valleys that God comes and He pours His grace into our hearts. In that surrendered vessel, He pours His grace in and He puts depth into our hearts like He can't do any other way. Choose to embrace the difficult trials and sufferings. God brings things into our life at times to test us, to see how surrendered we are, to see if we have everything on the altar. a number of years ago. And we have this little business. And in the furniture business, there's probably, I'm not sure, around 15, 20 employees. And a number of years ago, as we were praying, it seemed like both my wife and I, we came to the place where God said, I want you to sell that business. Sell the furniture business. Why? Why, God? Prior to that, there's a number of times that a man had specifically come, twice. He had come and said, could I buy your business? I'd like to purchase your business. And we had just laughed him off. And we came to the place where, well, this is our livelihood. This is our income. As we prayed, it just seemed clear. God was saying, go sell your business. What in the world? What are we going to do if we sell the business? What's our livelihood going to be? And as my wife and I continued to pray, it seemed pretty clear that what God was asking us to do is make a price and go to that man that had come to us a couple times and offer to sell it to him. And if it sells, God is somehow going to open that door. See, I mean, this is our life. This is what we've done for 10, 15 years already. God said, I want you to do that. And as we considered and prayed, it felt like we were clearly supposed to go offer to sell it to him. And if he doesn't take it, that means we're supposed to keep it. Okay, but he had come twice already asking. And that's a big thing for us. God was wanting to see if our hands are open and surrendered in every area. Right? We made a price, offered it to him. He took it to his accountant. And everything looked 100%. The accountant said, it's great. The bank said, it's great. He said, it's great. But he made a decision not to do it. Why did God do that? Why? Oh, why did God do that? Why? He wanted to see where I'm at, right? God does those things. God brings some of those things to us, and he wants us to come to the place where we have everything open, our hands open. We're surrendered in every area of our life. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man that heard that saying, he went away with great sorrow. He was not willing to open his hands and let go. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God is going to bring situations into your life where he's going to ask you to open your hands. He's going to ask you to surrender everything. And it'll be some very, very difficult things He's going to bring your way. But let me tell you, there's something within us that wants to hang on to stuff. It's just there. Let me tell you, the more we can come to a place of complete and total surrender, that everything is on the altar, it's when God takes us on deeper with God. Here's another heading. Testings, trials, sufferings, and afflictions. That's the next heading that I'd like to look at. And I'm reflecting back now, youth. I'm reflecting back on my younger days and some of the things that I went through as a young man that I'm going to say put character, took me to the place of surrender, took me to the place where God could put His holy precepts into my heart, put purpose, and make me who I am today. I want to give you a couple stories. As a young man, I grew up, and our family was the oddballs. Our family was the oddballs. We were different than everyone else. We were different than everyone else. From a young age, I was, and I'll just say this, my parents were in a New Order Amish setting until I was age 13. My parents left and went to a conservative beachy setting. That's where they are today. In the setting where we were, as a young man, in the school we were, it was a pretty broad mixture of children. It wasn't just from our church type of thing. It was a pretty broad mixture there. But in the school, us as a family, we were the oddballs. We were the oddballs because my dad was serious about serving God. My dad, he loved God. My dad, he was willing to stand out different than anyone else because he loved God. In our little school there, you know, I was a young boy, and these are impressionable years. I remember in our boy, or in our school there, it was a norm at Christmas time for the whole school to exchange gifts with each other. They exchanged names. And the whole school, they all exchanged names. And then they gave each other a gift. That was a normal thing at school. And our family was the only family in the whole school that didn't do that. Right? And there's a good reason why we didn't do that, right? It was right to not do that. And while everyone else exchanged gifts, our family sat there and watched the others with some longing eyes sometimes. Our family, everyone else in school, you know, all the other young boys, I was different than them, right? All the other young boys didn't have to wear suspenders. But the Miller boys, they all had to wear suspenders. Not only that, all the other boys from school had these nice little collars like I have today, you know, like this. But the Miller boys, they had some of these straight, upright collars. When we bought a shirt, it was cut off because my dad felt that was the way to do. And let me just say this. I'm not saying this, that any of these things are negative. I'm saying these are things that as a young man, My father was making choices and decisions, and these are things that as a young man, we were different. We were not like the other boys. We didn't go to the same places that the other boys from school did. We were different. My dad, you know, 50 years ago, my father, things are a bit different today. But 50 years ago, my father was the only man in our whole Amish community that had a mustache. My father. And they sort of called him Mustache Ezra. It's sort of a joke. And we went places and I heard that. Oh, Mustache Ezra. We were the oddballs. We were different. My dad had purpose. My dad loved God. My dad was dedicated to serve God at all cost. And let me tell you, young men, today there was four of us boys in our family. Today, three of us are preachers. I wonder why. Remember the day, you know, that I started a job. I started working in a local production facility, and we manufactured steel entry doors. And it wasn't long, it wasn't there very long that they put me in to be a foreman of the production. And I managed quite a few men there at a young age in my teens. Some years went by. The company was a fast-growing company. It grew very fast. Lots of tremendous amount of change. And there's some things that happen in the production facility that there is a need for some change for the door slab that we were getting in. And the things that were being produced weren't up to snuff. And I went to my manager and I asked him to make some changes so that we could do what is needed to do. But he looked at me and he said, well, I believe it's your fault that some of the things are happening. And I remember the day when I was asked to be removed from my position that I had for quite a number of years. And they put someone else in there. And I knew that by making the changes that they did, I knew that those things wouldn't make one difference. It wouldn't make any difference on the production. And I remember being on the floor before the Lord and just asking God, God, why are you bringing these difficult things into my life? It's not fair. You know, some time went by and it went the way I thought. And my former higher up came back and he apologized. But I remember going through that time. And I remember being on my face and just asking God, God, this isn't fair. There's no reason why these things are happening. God, what are you trying to tell me? God, what are you trying to do in my life? God, others don't have to go through some of those things. And there's a lot of things that I faced in my life that I ask God the question, God, what are you trying to do in my life? I know, you know, it doesn't look fair. And I'm going to say that there's many of you young people here that you are facing situations in your life and you look at it and you say, that's not fair. Why am I the one that has to face this? Why am I the one that has lost my father? Why does it have to be me? Why am I the one that has lost my mother? Why am I the one that was adopted? Why is it me? Why do I have to go through these things? On deeper with God. I'm going to tell you that God allows some of these things in our life to bring us to the place of a deeper surrender to Jesus Christ. You showing me a man that God uses in the kingdom of God, and I'll show you a man that has been through some difficult things. Every time. Every time. I was working at a different place. I was hired on as a production manager. So I was there. It wasn't very long till there was this one guy that literally hated me. Literally hated me. I could come in the morning. I could greet him. He'd turn his face the other way. He hated me. And I said, God, what in the world? What are you trying to do? Time went on. Not only did he hate me, but this man that literally hated me, he was best friends with my supervisor. And my supervisor would take some of these young men out to watch the Cleveland Indians. Of course, he would have taken me along too if I would have wanted to go. But he'd take these young men out to watch the Cleveland Indians. He'd do things together with them. And time went on. And the day came when this man that literally hated me. And I was there day after day, month after month, asking God, why is it that this man hates me? God, what is it that I can change in my life? God, what are you trying to tell me? But the day came when this man went to my supervisor. And he'd complain that I came in the morning and said good morning to him. All kinds of nasty stuff. And I realized that this thing was building up. That either I'm going to get dismissed or he's going to get dismissed. The thing went on like this for months. My supervisor was like this with him. And all this time, you know, I can get along with guys pretty good, right? You know, normally I can get along pretty good with people. But I couldn't. There's absolutely nothing I could do. I'd lay on my face before God Almighty, begging God to open my eyes and help me through this trial. God, what are you trying to tell me? God, what are you bringing into my life? What's the purpose of all this? What are you trying to do in my life? The day came that he turned against my supervisor and he got dismissed. Brothers and sisters, I've had situations in church, in a local church, where there's been men who have our dear brothers. They love God, but somehow every time that we sort of meet, there's sort of sandpaper on my shoulder and sandpaper on his shoulder, right? And I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love. Lord, help me to be a real brother. Lord, how can I be more, is there something wrong with me? Lord, change me in these areas. God, what are you trying to do in my life? This is past weekend, I had a young man come to me. And he asked me this question. He said, I need some advice. He said, I have an authority and it just seems like, it's just sandpaper. It just seems like things aren't going well. Do you have any good advice for me? Let me tell you, brothers, God will put men and women into your life just like that. Because, you've got it all together, right? You know how to have good relationships. You know God's will for your life. And God has a way of bringing some of these people into our life to bring a deeper breaking, a deeper need for God, a looking at our own life and asking, God, what do you want to do with me? Right? On deeper with God. Let me just tell you, God will deliberately allow those things in our life to make and to build character. To bring you to the place where you are undone. To bring you to the place where you don't have it all together. To bring you to the place where you put your eyes and your gaze on Jesus Christ. And you depend on Him more. And it helps you to grow. It helps you to move forward in your spiritual life. And let me tell you, brothers, when you go through these things and then you look back 5 years down the road, you look back at that difficult situation and you realize the difficulties you went through have totally changed the character that you have. It's changed you. It's turned you into a more dependent on God. It's broken that pride. It's broken the self. It's made you into a more godly person. But while we're in the middle of some of those very deep things, we can't see it. We can't see it. Paul said it this way, think it not strange when those fiery trials come your way. Think it not strange. You know, the things that I was sharing here with you a bit, that's little stuff. That's little stuff. It is. That's nothing. Some of the things that Christians are going through all over the world are way bigger than that. Listen to this. Paul's example of suffering. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said this. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes less one. 5 times. Now listen to this. 5 times the Apostle Paul was tied to a post and they took a whip and 39 stripes. And for a man to get 39 stripes like that, literally their back was laid open. Bruises, welts, bleeding. And normally a man that was beat 39 times, he was close to the point of death. Paul said, 5 times I received that. You know, the little puny things that I have gone through are nothing. You look at some of the things that are happening to Christians across the world. You know, my little things are puny. They're nothing. Paul said, 5 times received I 40 stripes less one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 5 times he received the stripes with a whip. 3 times with rods. Paul said, 1 time I was stoned. 1 time they took stones and they threw stones at me and threw stones at me. And you know the story. He lay on the ground and they thought he was dead. Can you imagine the things that were going on in Paul's heart when he faced some of those extremely difficult things? You know, things that I went through is nothing. Nothing. Paul said, 5 times I received stripes, 3 times I received the rod, 1 time I was stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. Paul said, 3 times in my missionary travels out and about, 3 times I faced shipwreck. Where there's shipwreck and I don't know what all that entailed. There's a description of one of those in Scripture. But he said, 3 times I was in shipwreck. He said, a day and a night I suffered in the deep. So for 24 hours, Paul was out in the middle of the ocean, bobbing like a bobber. You know how it is if you go fishing? You have this little bobber on the end of your string, and you watch it keep bobbing. Paul said, for 24 hours, I was out in the water. I was out in the deep for 24 hours before they found me. And before they pulled me out for 24 hours. Wow. My stuff's pretty puny, right? In journeyings oft, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils by false brethren. Wow, it wasn't just the stuff out there, but it was from the brothers in church. And you go through some of the epistles and you look at how some of the churches that Paul started turned against him. The brothers that Paul helped come to the faith, they turned against him. Can you imagine some of the things that Paul was going through? And he was asking God, God, why are all these things happening? What are you trying to do? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. You know what watchings is? If you look up that word watchings, it means to stay up during the night to pray. He said, I stayed up during the night to pray often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He doesn't give a description of all the details and the things he went through, but he gives us a little picture. Romans 5 in verse 3 says these words, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. You know, okay, so that's what it's called, right? We glory in tribulations. Oh, brothers and sisters, Paul said we glory in all of those things that he went through. He said, I glory in those things. Unbelievable. That's quite something, right? Paul said, it's those things that I glory in. Because it's when I'm facing some of those most difficult things, it's when I'm facing those things that God really becomes strong in me. Now, let me just tell you, I'll be very honest with you. You know, the little puny stuff that I have gone through, let me just tell you, that's puny stuff. But let me just tell you, I would have a desire in my own heart to somehow when those things come, I'd have a desire in my own heart to just embrace those things more. Okay? Right? I'd have a desire for that. And I'm endeavoring to do that. I'm endeavoring. When difficult things come, just recognize that somehow God is allowing these things to come into my life. And I have no idea, what all He's wanting to do in my life. But somehow God is wanting to use this difficulty to make me a more surrendered man. Take me on deeper with God. Bring me to the place where I'm more pure, where I'm more holy. Because it's those things, I'll just be honest, it's in these most difficult things that I say that I have grown the most in my Christian walk with the Lord. Okay? You know what I like to think when I'm reading the Word? And we need to read the Word because that feeds us, right? But it's when the breaking of God comes. When those stones come in, it breaks us and it breaks us and it breaks us. And we become more broken. Deeper humility. Deeper surrender. Deeper trust. deeper commitment. And we, you know, it's when we're in those difficult places that our face is truly turned to God. But we don't like that. I don't like that. My flesh doesn't like that. My flesh doesn't like when things start going wrong. It doesn't. My flesh hates it. My flesh hates it. But let me tell you, that is when we grow. That you know, that's it. That's it. That's when you grow. First Peter, let me just read that verse again. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened." So some very difficult things come your way. Don't think it strange. Don't think it strange. Accept it from the hand of God. Open your heart to God and receive it at His hand. Because He is drawing you to Himself. Can you flip that around to where everything has gone good? If everything in your life would just go real smooth, everything is just going fine. You know what happens? We become more self-dependent. Oh, I can sort of do it. I can do these things on my own. You know, and what happens is we don't trust God anymore. And we literally don't. We don't trust God. God brings these things, so we look to Him because we need Him. We have to have Him on deeper with God. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says these words about Jesus. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered." That's a mystery to me. I don't quite all get that. "Yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered." Here's another heading. Exercising ourselves in the Word. Hebrews tells us very clearly that there's a lot of people that are not mature spiritually because they're on the milk. And it tells us that we gain experience and maturity through experience. Through the things that we go through, we gain maturity. But he said, there's a lot of you that are on milk yet. Hebrews says that. Exercising ourselves in the Word. Brothers, sisters, exercising ourselves in the Word. This can be done in many various ways. I remember many years ago, 20-some years ago, maybe 24 years ago, I'm not sure. I remember the first time that I went into a big city to share the gospel. And there was a group of us standing in a huddle. We were singing, and we were taking turns to step up front and open our mouth and preach. And I remember the first time that I was in this huge city. You know, I had gone to our local city personally, and pass out tracts, talk to people, and I've been active in some of those things, but never in the big town of New York City. And I remember standing there in front of the group, and all these people, there's witchcraft going over here on the other side of the park, and there's someone over here doing these jigs and drawing a crowd over here, and there's all kinds of wickedness going on. And I remember the first time standing in front of the crowd and opening my mouth and lifting my voice. Let me tell you, I was trembling on the inside. I was trembling on the inside. I was scared. Okay, let me tell you, brothers, God is wanting us to exercise ourselves out on the streets with people that you meet. Open your mouth, start sharing the gospel. He wants us to exercise ourselves in the Word. As you open your mouth and you hear, you share, God will take you on deeper. I remember that first time that I went into the big city and I heard some of the discussions that some of them were having, and I prayed to God and said, God, would you please bring the people to me that I can handle? I'm scared that I'm going to have a conversation with someone that I won't know what to say. Right? Okay, and he brought the right people. I had tremendous conversations, but it wasn't over my head. Well, the next time I got some over my head, right? Okay. But exercising ourselves. And let me just tell you. I didn't tell you this before. Here's another thing that I struggled with. I had a stuttering problem. Right? You know what a stuttering problem is? I had it. I had it. I remember the first time that I got up to give a little devotional on a Sunday morning for 15 minutes. And I stood there and I started reading the Word. And I stuttered so much, the people sat in their seats pitying me. And it wasn't only the first time that happened for years. God, why? God, why? God, why do I have to struggle with this? I remember standing in a group singing. And at the end of the service, the moderator asked all the youth, all the nice looking youth, could you please introduce yourself, say your name, and tell your parents' name. And that was the most dreadful thing for me to do. It's horrible. But God healed me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But let me tell you, exercising ourselves in the Word. Sisters, sharing, talking about Scripture. There's various things, young men and young sisters, you can do. Bible memorization is a huge one. Let me tell you, there are Scriptures, chapters that I learned years ago. And to this day, though, it still comes, right? It still comes. In the last 20 years, I've tried to do a little bit. But 40 years ago, the memorization that I did 40 years ago, it sticks to this day. It's faltering a little bit sometimes, but still there, right? Exercising ourselves in the Word of God. The more we talk about the Word, the more we share the Word, the more we put the Word of God into our minds, God uses those things to take us on deeper. I was ordained as a young man at 25 years old. 25 years old. I was ordained to be a deacon. Let me tell you, I struggled. I wanted to preach like the other preachers. Right? I wanted to preach good messages. I wanted to be able to preach like the good preachers. And God again had to just throw all that down. He said, Mark, I don't want you to preach like them. I said, Mark, I want you to just simply give to the people what I give you. Right? In the last 20-some years, I have gained a little bit of experience in preaching. Right? Okay? I think if you'd ask my wife, I preach a little bit different than I did 25 years ago. But I preach the way I do. Right? Okay, see, we like to be like others. But God's calling us to simply exercise and be faithful in the things that God calls us to do. Just God made me, you know, I have gray hair, baldness on my head. God made me with my impunities, my difficulties. God made me just the way I am. He didn't want me to be like other people. But I have endeavored to give myself in exercising myself in the Word of God. Bible memory. Young man, let me just say it this way. And I don't know this crew, but it ought to be that I could call on five men and five sisters, and you'd get up and quote a whole chapter spontaneously. I'm not talking about whole books, but surely you can do a chapter, right? Or two or three. You know, should I try it? Okay, could you follow? God wants to exercise ourselves in the Word of God, and Bible memory is a huge one. I encourage you to do that. Take a note to take along to work. On the truck, and put it there. Over beside the kitchen counter, you know, where you're making your breakfast, have it on there and you're memorizing. Exercising yourselves in the Word. You know, I need to tell you a story. In my zeal to share the gospel, I did some things that weren't always the greatest. They weren't always the greatest. There are some things that I'd do different. But let me tell you, young men and women, we need to be fervent for God. I remember some years ago, I found myself, it's a long story, but I found myself in a pickup truck, driving down the road, and I was driving this other man's truck, and it was 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, and I was driving this other man's truck. That's the first time I met him. But I was sharing the gospel to him. I was sharing with him. And he ended up in the passenger seat. I didn't trust him for him to be driving and me in the other. So it ended up that I was driving his truck and he was in the passenger seat. And I was driving down the road and I was sharing the gospel. I was sharing my heart with him. I was telling him how he needs to turn away from his sin and commit his life to God. You know what happens at 1 o'clock at night and it's dark? Finally, I realized that his interests were waning. And I was quiet for a little bit. And he asked the question, "Do you mind if I touched you?" 1 o'clock at night. And I said, "Don't touch me." And I started praying out loud to God. I prayed for a while, and I was heading back toward home. My wife was back there. She was praying. When she heard that her hubby had gone out alone with this guy, she nearly fainted. But here we are. I was praying out loud, and finally I stopped. And all of a sudden, he put his left arm down on the seat with his right arm. He came over and put his right hand on my knee. And what do you do? And I did what came. I looked at him and said, "In Jesus' name, move over." And he was literally against the door like this. Let me tell you, if we are serious about God, sometimes we'll get him in ourselves into situations, but God is there and God wants us to be serious. And he'll take care of us, right? And I wouldn't do that again. I learned something. But right? Okay. But let me tell you something, brothers. Too many of us are out there playing a good old game of volleyball or playing some other things when we ought to be exercising ourselves in the Word and sharing the gospel and being serious about God, right? I'm not against a good game of volleyball. I'm not against that. I'm not against some games. But let me tell you, sometimes we get derailed. And God is looking to take us on deeper with Him. Going to prisons, going to jails, sharing with men that you work with, sharing with sisters. You have opportunities here and there. Take the opportunity. Exercising yourself in the Word. Getting to know the Word. Discussing Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says these words, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Well, I want that, don't you? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 says these words, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood, seeing ye are dull of hearing." I like to just suggest that in too many of our circles, there's too many people that are dull of hearing. And why is that? "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers..." Let me tell you, young men, God is wanting to raise you up to be teachers. Some of you in our churches, some of you in our homes, God wants to raise you up to disciple men and women for God. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become of such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." What a shame. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use..." That word use, exercising yourself. "By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The next heading I have here is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Let me tell you, if you want to grow spiritually, there's sacrifices that you're going to need to make. And what I mentioned just a minute ago about some of the games and some of the things that you can play, let me tell you, young men and young women, those are things you ought to be able to easily sacrifice in order to give yourself and exercising yourself and in growing in God and His purposes and sharing the gospel and being involved with brothers and sisters in a church and discipling others. Let me tell you, I remember the day that, you know, I had a hard time, you know, going through, you know, through the New Testament and finding the verses and knowing the Scriptures and all types of things like that. Brothers, we need to be doing things purposefully. When you're reading the Word of God and something stands out to you, underline it. Make a note beside it. Let me tell you, those things are extremely valuable. Many times these days, we sit down for family devotions and I open the Word of God, and all throughout my Bible, there are things that are underlined with little notes on the side. And when I see it, those memories come back. Those thoughts come back, and it's all there. From the years of exercising myself, that when God gives me thoughts, I make notes, I underline it, and it's there. Sometimes I get called upon to preach on the spur of the moment. I open my Bible. It's there. The thoughts are there. The memories. Let me tell you, there's some of us, we love our digital technology, and some of that is not conducive to Bible reading. And by the way, I use
my cell phone a bit to, on occasion, where I, if I'm in certain places, to read the Bible. But let me tell you, it does not do what the Word of God in a written form, to be able to make notes, and the value that it will have for you in years to come is very different. If you read the Word of God consistently in written form like this, make notes, thoughts, when God speaks to you in your personal devotions, and you know, you make these notes on here, you will be at a different place 20 years from now if you exercise yourself in this written word in that way. I promise you, it'll make a difference for you. It'll make a difference for you. Sacrifice. We sacrifice our reputation. We sacrifice money and possessions. We make deliberate choices and decisions to lay things aside so that we can be involved with the people of God and exercising ourselves in the Word. We sacrifice by going on the mission field. We sacrifice when we make a choice, young men, we sacrifice when we make a choice to take a job that pays less so that I can be in a better environment, so I can grow in my walk with the Lord. And we sacrifice, we lay down possibilities and abilities and things we could be pursuing. We sacrifice those things. And we make deliberate choices to, in the occupations that we have, to be in the type of environments that is conducive to spiritual growth. Those are sacrifices that we need to make. There's this idea that we need to find the perfect job for me, the perfect job for who I am. And although God gifts us and there's various places, I'm not against some of that. But let me tell you that we shouldn't get so specialized that we can't simply do what God wants us to do. And be in an environment and working together with others, even though things don't quite fit my shoe 100%. I need to sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says these words. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's it, right? You know what I've been describing to you? That's it. Presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is only our reasonable service. That's only what, you know, that's what God is calling us to do. Is just simply being faithful and doing what He calls us to do. Lay these other things aside in order to serve God. On deeper with God. Let me read those verses again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's big stuff. Let me tell you, that's big stuff. It's only our reasonable sacrifice to give our lives in dedication and surrender to Almighty God. And when we walk with God, God will bring His purposes and His burdens upon us for us to be following after. You know, when I was a young man, I used to wonder, will I know what all God has for me? How will I know how God wants me to walk? And let me tell you, young sisters and young brothers, if we walk in a dedicated manner and in a surrendered manner and in an open fashion to God where everything is on the altar and we are sacrificing and we're giving ourselves and we're pursuing God and we open our hearts to God. And let me tell you, as we do that, God just comes and sort of drops His purposes into our hearts. Drops His will, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in situations and we say, God, what are you trying to do here? And He just, you know, God's taking us in a place that He can use us. Why? Because we have been faithful. Because we have been faithful, God just sort of takes us on and uses us, and we don't have to be wondering and wondering and wondering. God has a way of us in His own time. I know of a man, and as a young man, he says these words. He's about my age. And he says this. He said, as a young man, it seemed clear to me that some of the things that I went through in my younger years, that God was calling me, and I'm not going to tell you what He's active in. But he says that I felt God calling me to this thing. And he said, for years and years, I wondered and I prayed and I was asking God, God, I thought you showed me that this is where you want me to walk. And let me tell you that for 20 years, this man, God was taking him through a school and bringing breaking and bringing surrender and opening his life further. And after 20 years, all of a sudden, the Lord's opening doors in a way that he never thought possible. God's opening the doors in unbelievable ways. But he had to wait 20 years. And the Lord showed him 20 years ago. God brings breaking, surrender, yieldedness, using us. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I lost it. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God's wanting to make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And, you know, over in Israel, desert, river, water, and here's a tree right by the water. Desert everywhere else. Desert, desert. Here there's a tree, and it has its roots down under the water. Tree, there it is. Like a tree. God's wanting us to make a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. On deeper. Choose when those fiery trials come, when the difficult things come in your life, choose to embrace them and choose to receive them as God's hand upon your life. Accept them and allow God to bring that purging. Even when you're falling flat on your face and you're crying out to God saying, God, why am I going through this? God, this isn't fair. God, I can't handle it. It's in those times that God is taking us on deeper. Lord bless you.